I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning. Psalms 136 and 1 says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." We have, each of us, if we'll go stop for a little bit and look back, we have so much to be thankful for. I'd like to talk to us today about prayer. You know what? Thanksgiving is a form of praying. Sometimes we think prayer means you're on your knees in the chapel or you're on your knees at your bed at night before you go to bed. But you know, prayer can be given at any time. It says, men ought always to pray and not faint. You know, we can give thanksgiving to the Lord in between service time. I was thinking of an incident this past week. Alternator on Cheryl's car went bad. And so I opened the hood. Some of you from a long time ago, you may, if you're old timey, you may remember the old cars that you could open the hood and you could see the alternator. In fact, you could crawl in under the hood if you needed to and stay in out of the rain while you took it out. But this one, I could see it down inside there. It was a front wheel drive vehicle. And I could see the alternator down in there. And I kind of have at the beginning the thought, if a man made it, a man can fix it. And it ought to be me. So I started working on it. And you know what? I spent time praying before I had that thing out and thanking the Lord again, because there were places where there was a bolt that I could just barely even see that there was a bolt down in there. And then when I would take it loose and I hear it fall down into the bottom of the pan underneath the car, and I think, okay, there's another step that I've got to do to get it back out again. And you know what, you can, sometimes we think we need to have something real big to give God thanks for. I want to tell you something, you can be thankful when you look under the car and finally find that bolt that has got to go back in there and give thanks to the Lord. So what I'd like for us to do is today is to think about the many things that God has done for us. Before we went to Germany a few weeks ago, 1 week before, my back, I had trouble with my back. And a lot of thoughts can run through your head of, okay, I'm 7 days away from flying for 12 hours or whatever to get over there, and I cannot even hardly walk. And I couldn't hardly use vacation time because it would jeopardize me even being able to go. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to go to work anyhow, and I need you to help me. You know what? You can get in a place to where you pray continually and thank the Lord that that prayer was answered. Because I would get to work and get out of the car and I could not walk. I would hang on to the side of the car. And then in a little bit, just try to shuffle my feet just a little bit. And I've got a 10-hour work day out ahead of me. But you know, it was amazing to me how close God was at a time like that. The song says, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I need you every hour. And you know, I found myself asking the Lord for the next step. Lord, would you help me with this one? Through the day, I even had to climb a ladder to do some work. And just each step going up that ladder saying, Lord, I need your help. And wondering, what does the future hold? Do I have to cancel the trip or what do we have to do? And seeing the Lord work during that time, you know what? He is well able to help us. But what I'd like to talk to you about today is another part of prayer. I'd like to look in the 11th chapter of Luke in the first verse. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And you know, I've read that before and thought, what would Jesus' reply be to them? You've been with me this long and you don't know how to pray. Come on. But you know what? He didn't say that. Because you know what? I believe he realized they were talking about something different than just asking the Lord for things that I want and telling him thanks again. I believe there was a depth that they were going to, that they wanted Jesus to give them some instruction on. Because there is a verse over in Philippians, we're able to go to the Lord and tell him what we want. It's in Philippians 4 and 6 verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Every one of us can ask anything of God. Lord, I would like for you to take care of this problem. But we need to bring thanksgiving along with it. Lord, I thank you for the times that you have helped me in the past, and I have a need here today. But this is where it moves into a place a little closer than just, I asked you for something, you did it, and I came back with thanksgiving. Now the disciples are saying, Lord, would you really teach me how to pray? And so he didn't reprimand them. He just went right into giving them some instruction about praying. And here's the instruction. He said unto them, second verse, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the very first thing that he's giving them instruction on, it wasn't tell me what you want. It's when you start praying, recognize who God is and his ability to help me with any problem that can ever come my way. And I start reading some in the Old Testament of the children of Israel. When the enemy came up against them and there was nothing that they could do to stop it, we will be overcome unless God helps us. And you know, many times their prayer started out with, God, you're the God of heavens. You are over everything. You are well able to take care of that. And then they gave their request. And this is what he's saying for us, to recognize who God is and his ability to be able to take care of any problem that I will ever face. But here is the part that I'd like for us to look at today. After I have recognized who God is and his ability to take care of any problem, here's the next part. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. The religious world around us will say the devil was in heaven. You know, if anybody knows whether the devil was in heaven or not, it ought to have been Jesus. And Jesus says, here's how you ought to pray. Pray to the Father, I want your kingdom to come. Father, I want your will to be done here on earth, just like your will has always been done up in heaven. And that clears it for me, for what anybody would say, the devil was in heaven. God was busy with other things and didn't recognize it until it got out of hand and there was a war in heaven and he was cast out. No, the will of the Father has always been done in heaven, and he would like for that will to be done on earth. He would like for it to start with me. So I was looking at some verses. The only thing that will stop his will from being done on earth is my will. You know, everything else moves along just like he created it. When you look at Genesis 1, everything about creation that he set in motion has continued all these years just like he said it, except for one thing, and that is mankind. It's because he gave us a will also. He would like for us to yield that will back to him again, but he gives us the choice. He did it from the very beginning with Adam and Eve. Told them what they needed to do, gave them clear instruction, but he allowed them to exercise their will. So when they're asking him, Lord, I want you to really teach me how to pray, he says, here's how you do it. What you need to do in your prayer is say, Lord, I want your will to be done here on earth like it was in heaven. There are some verses that we have. Jesus gave us a clear example for us to follow. I'd like to look at it in Matthew 26 and 39, because he had a desire for something to happen, but he yielded his will to the Father. 26 and 39, and he went a little further, fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So in your prayers in the past, have you ever prayed a prayer that said, Lord, life has been going so well for me in all these months. Lord, I need you to send a trial to me. I had never prayed it. because they come aplenty on their own without it. I have come back with thanksgiving, but I've never told the Lord, Lord, it's high time for you to send me a problem. A lot of times we think about sickness, but sickness is not the only trouble that can come our way. We can have a vehicle stop out on the highway somewhere, and it's really inconveniences us. And I would rather, if it's going to quit, I want it to quit in my driveway, not out on the highway somewhere. But things, life just happens. There's trouble that comes our way. And if we would follow this example and this prayer, I started understanding better what these disciples were. They weren't asking, Lord, I don't know the words. You know, whenever I was in school, I went to school in a time where prayer was offered in school. And I remember the teacher, when I was in grade school, giving out to everybody this little prayer, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. You know, you wouldn't be allowed to do that kind of thing nowadays, but they're given a prayer for you to say. Well, here we are today, and we have promises that the Lord has given us. I love those promises. I'd like to look at a couple of them. It's in John, the 15th chapter. Because sometimes we can look at these and decide that I know now how to pray. 15th chapter, and in the 7th verse. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. What kind of list would you make for the Lord of things that I'd like for him to do for me? You know, we read this verse and it just looks like it's an open checkbook. Just tell the Lord what you want and he'll give it to you. And then there's another verse in Mark, in the 11th chapter and the 23rd verse that goes along with that. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So I look at these verses sometimes and say, okay, Lord, here's what I want you to do for me in my life. And then I look at this prayer that Jesus is teaching his disciples. Here's what you need to be praying. Lord, I want your will to be done on earth like it is in heaven. You know what? Things change then. Because there's some other verses that I need to add with those. One of them is in the book of Romans, in the 8th chapter. Romans 8 and 26. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now that's something in a verse. I know what I want God to do for me. I want him to take away trouble out of my life. But this verse says, you know, really, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. You know why? Because I cannot see out in the future. I cannot see eternity out ahead. And God can. And he would like to put some things into my life that I would like to pray away. And he's got a purpose for them, so that his will would be able to be done here on earth, just like it is in heaven. And that at the time that I am called to leave this world, I am then prepared for heaven. So I look at this one. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But it goeth up down in the 27th verse. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit is praying for us, lined up with God's will for my life. So the things that would come to me. You know these other verses, ye abide in me, my words abide in you, and you ask what you want, and it'll be done. If I take all of those literally, everything I want should come to me. It's kind of like me taking a child and giving them a loaded gun to play with. I really don't understand what I've got. Because the children of Israel had a desire one time. I am sick of manna. I am tired of manna. Give me something different to eat. And it says he gave them their request. And that sounds like that is Thanksgiving time. That is time to be thankful he gave me what I wanted. But that verse doesn't end there. It says he gave them their request, but he sent leanness to their soul. Something happened when he gave them what they wanted that really was not the best for them. And you know what? I think things have not changed. The same thing can happen to me. So I want to start learning to, just like the disciples said, Lord, would you teach me how to pray? Lord, help my prayer to be more. Lord, here's what I'd like. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. But end my prayer with, but Lord, I cannot see out into tomorrow. I don't know what things you're trying to do in my life or other people's lives around me. So I ask you to work your will in my life. Embracing God's will for my life. You know, I would if I could always know this is what his will was. We heard about Joseph this morning in Sunday school lesson. You know, Joseph was not able to see really what God's will was for his life. He had had a couple dreams that told him something special was happening out there, but so many things went in reverse for what he had expected it to be. But Joseph did what he needed to do. Joseph kept his life clean and committed the rest to the Lord to work out whenever he wanted to. You know, the best I can tell, he gave up 13 years of his life. From the time he was in the well and sold as a slave until he was on the throne there with the job that he had to do. 13 years. I don't want to lose 13 years of my life. But you know what he did? He submitted to God with the things that came his way. And what I saw with him was when he would have something happen to him, he would rise up on top of it. Okay, Potiphar's wife has had me put in prison and it was not a just cause. But he's not going to mope about it. He gets in prison and what can I do to help somebody else out? I believe it would be good for me, for all of us, whatever situation we come to in life, if we will recognize, you know what, to the Christian, nothing happens without it being allowed by God. Same thing happened with Job. We get to read the story verse by verse. Job didn't get that privilege. All Job knows is one day he had plenty and the next day he had nothing. And he also got the privilege of finding out who took them. The Sabaeans took these. The Chaldeans took these. And you know what wants to happen in your mind when you know that? You start attaching tags onto the things you lost. This is the person that has caused me trouble. And if you can even keep your attitude right, you still have thoughts to deal with. But you know what? Job bypassed all that when he said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We don't see, I don't know how long his illness lasted. I know it lasted about 40 chapters, however long that was. And I know also that we never find that God spoke to him until 40 chapters later. And it was a reprimand. You remember Job had enough time, however long it was, he had enough time to start thinking, you know what, I'd sure like to have an audience with God. I got some things I'd like to talk to him about. And about 40 chapters later, God says, gird up your loins like a man. I've got some things I want to talk to you about. Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And you remember that? It went about 4 chapters before God let him up for air. And then Job said, I put my hand over my mouth. I should not have spoken. And you know what? At that time, God turned around Job's affliction. So we can have things happen in our life. But if I will realize, you know what? This could be God's will in my life. How do I accept the things that happen in my life? The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. You know, when I can attach the troubles that come into my life to God allowing it, it changes a lot for me. I'd like to look at another verse. And here's a secret. In Psalm 66 and 10. If I can attach it to God allowing things to happen in my life, it will help me. 66 and 10. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net, thou laidst affliction upon our loins, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. He allowed other men to be able to do it. And it says, we went through fire, through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. If I could always recognize this verse, Lord, you have allowed men to ride over my head. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So my prayer would be, I want good things to come into my life. Okay, so I have a verse, Psalms 84 and 11. Here's another promise. Psalms 84 and 11. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. All right, now there's a promise. I've got good things coming into my life out in the future if I will walk uprightly. Okay, surely there must be another verse that will balance that one out. There is. It's in Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and 71. Here's the good thing. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. And you know, that's not just got the flu or pneumonia or something else. It's just troubles that come into my life. This verse says it was a good thing when those things happen in my life. How can they be? How can that be considered a good thing? It is when I factor in eternity. I'm headed to a place, my soul is headed to a place that it will dwell forever. And God would like to send things to me that I can make adjustments in my life and be ready on that day that he would call for me. And that can't be done by everything being pleasant in my life. Here comes a little trouble and I pray it away and it's gone. I say to this mountain, get out, and it's gone. You know what? I need to recognize that God wants to work in my life. We have this song that we sing sometimes. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I'm the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see. Christ only always living in me. You know, modern day Christianity says make a decision for Christ and your life pretty much continues the same as it has been before. Not much change. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There's a big difference there. There's a song that we say, sing, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. So when trouble comes into my life, it's very important what I do with it. I don't know how many of you have read the book, Hinds Feet on High Places, but I would recommend you to read it sometime. It's like an allegory. It's a story. It tells about a young girl that she has a desire to go to the high places. She has a desire to go to the mountain, but she's crippled. And the shepherd, which typifies Jesus, says, I'll help you to be able to get there. It doesn't matter if you're crippled, I'll help you. And so she says, well, you know, this would be great if he goes with me all the way and he takes me to those higher places. And so it says in that book that he went with her for just a little bit. And then he said, look, I've got other things that I'm going to be doing. At any time you call on me, I'll be right here. But I'm going to give you two companions to go with you. They will be the very best help that I could give you. And those companions were sorrow and suffering. So these will be the best two that I can give you to take you to the high places. You know, in our mind we say, oh no, you know, I haven't figured out how to get there. It says she could see the mountains right here. She knows we're close to them. And yet these two, when she finally submitted to go with them, these two turned her down a path that was taking her into a desert. And she said, no, this is the wrong way. This is not what I had wanted. This is not what the shepherd told me I would have. And so she called on the shepherd and he came to her and he said, look, you will have to submit. If you want to go to those higher places, you will have to learn to submit to me when you cannot see anything better. So she submitted. And it says she went into the desert, and I mean, there's not a living plant around. And she went to this little settlement, little group of huts, and said they had a water tank outside and a little pipe that was bringing water into the settlement there. And it had a tiny little hole in that pipe. out in this desert where there is no vegetation at all, there is a little drip coming out of that and landing on the desert floor. And in that little spot of water was a beautiful flower that was growing out of that. And it was saying, what's the name of that flower? It's acceptance with joy. You know, for us, if you have everything going well for you today, keep on breathing, because it's going to change for every one of us at one time. Enjoy it. Enjoy it while you have it. But realize, you know what? There's going to be trouble come into my life. And when it does, if I will say, Lord, you got a plan in this. You got some kind of plan. I don't have to be able to see it. I just have to be able to submit my will to your will. We sing a song, God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling. You know, we can spend a lot of times trying to be able to figure it out. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting, submit thyself into his hands. You know, as we come into the end of this year and the things that have happened in our life through this past year and years in the past, if we could recognize, you know, those negative things that happen in my life can be blessings in disguise if I will let it. Or I can let it get me down to where I see nothing good that could come from it. When it said in Jeremiah, it talked about, let's go down to the potter's house. I want you to see a work on the wheel. Have you ever gone to a place where they were doing pottery the old way on the wheel, where they're spinning it and they have the clay and it's got to be just right? And it says that in that, that's in the 18th chapter of Jeremiah, said he went down and he watched it and he learned a lesson from it. Said the potter was working, making a vessel, but it said that vessel marred in his hands. And so he reshaped it and he made another vessel from it. You know, when we put, and then it said, oh, house of Israel, will you not let God work with you like this potter is working with this clay? You know, the only way that our vessel will mar in God's hands is if when I don't allow my will to be yielded to him, when I am not pliable for him to do what he wants in my life. Nothing enters the life of a Christian except it passes through God's hands first. You know, the first chapter of Job tells me that. When God spoke to Satan and said, have you considered my servant Job? You know, the devil didn't say, I don't know who you're talking about. I've never seen him. You know what? Satan had been watching Job himself. He had watched him to the point and said, well, sure, he's living for you. You've blessed him. You've given him so many positive things in his life. I'll tell you what, if you will take those things away from him, from Job, he will curse you to your face. And God said, what he has, but don't touch his life. You can take what he has, but don't touch his life. You know, that's a consolation to me. God is in control of the things that happen in my life. He can stop them at any time. He allows the things to come into my life that he sees to be best. And then we see, you remember where it was saying, we don't know how to pray as we ought. And then we see the verse that sometimes maybe we have a little struggle with, that says, all things work together for good to them are the called according to his purpose. Then we can see this wasn't a good item in itself, but when it mixed with other things, it caused some things to happen in my life that caused some good to come. There's a verse in Romans 9 and 20. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? Lord, why have you allowed me to be in this condition? Whatever it is. So many times we think about health, but I tell you, you can have some adversity in a lot of other areas besides health also. But for me to submit my will to the Lord. There's a story I would like to tell you, because we don't have to go back in the Old Testament to be able to see people that submitted themselves to God when they would have loved for it to be different, would love for it to be a different way. Sister Imogene Taylor, years ago, started losing her eyesight. And you know what? None of us would say, Lord, that would be a good thing to take my eyesight. No. Every one of us would pray, and we should pray, Lord, please, would you please turn this around for me? I would appreciate it. And that's what she did. She told the Lord, Lord, if you will bring my eyesight, let me keep my eyesight. There's so much I can do for you. There's people that I know. There's people that I'll meet when I'm driving and those kind of things, and I'll be able to be a help to them. Her eyesight kept failing until it was gone. And, you know, yours may be different, but you're going to have to do something with the adversity that comes into your life. Because the scripture says something's going to happen. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. When you call on the Lord wanting something to go a certain way, and it doesn't go that way, you've got a decision to make, and the devil is going to be right there to work with it. Sister Imogene had a decision to make. Is she going to submit her will to God's, or is she going to allow it to make her bitter? And she gave this testimony. You know what happened to her when she went blind? Home care started sending people to her house to help her with the things that she needed, to bathe her, to help her get ready and all those things. You know what she now had? She had a captive audience to witness to. They couldn't leave till they got her dressed and got her ready and gave her her bath so she could talk to them about the Lord. And you know what? She saw that as a positive thing. I didn't recognize it before. You know, when she was having trouble, she said, the Lord spoke this to her. I have you right where I want you. You know what? You got to do something with that. Because you can have it one way and think, oh, this is like the cat and the mouse. I'm just going to watch you suffer. Or God has allowed me to be in the very best place, even though it's not what I would have chosen. So the people started coming to her house because they worked for a living, and she was able to witness to them. And she saw that as a positive thing and yielded her will to the Lord. I'd like for you to think about something. She's gone now. Been in eternity for several years. Do you know what? She had a decision that she had to make, because she could have allowed herself to become bitter and lost out with God and be lost in eternity forever. But instead she recognized, you know what, the Lord's doing a work with me, and I'm going to allow Him to do it. Yes, I'm going to ask Him, Lord, if it would be Your will, Jesus did it, so it's okay for me to do it. Lord, if it be Your will, I would like for it to go this way. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We don't play this game much anymore, but if you've had the game of croquet, you know, you take the little metal hoops and you put it out in your yard in different places, and that game is played by, you've got to go through this first hoop and then go over to this next one. You've got to do it in order. The last one over here, when you go through it, if you can go through ahead of other people, you win. Well, I thought about that game with this game of life that we're playing. And God sees what I need. You know, I don't even know when I'm going to be called out of here. There are some people that live to 95 years old, and you'll think, you know what, their time is close. And then you hear somebody that's a teenager that went out into eternity. So I have no clue when my name will be called. And yet what I need is this game of life that I'm going through, the lessons that I'm learning, moving closer and closer to this time when I'm going to be called out into eternity. And I need to be yielding my will to the Lord that He be able to take me through each of these places in my life, that I'll be ready on that last time. I can so choose to take my own will. If you've ever played that game, sometime you think, you know what, I'm a long ways from that hoop over there, but I'm going to just hit this ball and it ends up out in a field somewhere. And you've got to start from that place and work your way back. You know, dealing with my soul in eternity, I don't want that to be the way it is when I'm fixing to draw my last breath. I'm way out here, and here is where I need to be when I draw this next breath. And it's going to be a big drive to be able to make it. You know what the Lord wants to do is put things in my life day by day. I call them adversities. I call them trouble. Many times I call it somebody else doing something to me that I would rather not have happen. What if it was the Lord getting me through this next little hoop here? If I need patience, how will I learn I need it? Somebody's going to rub me the wrong way, and I learn, you know what, Lord, I need more patience. All of this is about me yielding my will to the Lord. To know, Lord, I do have a desire, I have a will. I would like for things to go this way. But at the same time, Lord, I don't know when my name will be called up to go out into eternity. And when it is, I would love for comparing this game of croquet. I would love when my name is called that the ball is sitting right in front of the hoop that all he's got to do is give it a little tap. You couldn't miss it if you tried. Heaven's my home. I don't want to be way out in left field, and there's a big risk of whether I make it. It's all going to be determined of what I do with my will. There is, in closing, I'd like to give you clips of a few songs out of our songbook. One of them is, "To thee my all resign. Oh, let thy will be mine." You know what? That's going to be a prayer. It's one thing to sing that song. It's another thing to act it out in my actions. Lord, I would like your will to become what my desire is. Oh, let thy will be mine. In thy great love divine, keep me, my Lord. Another song says, "Thy gracious will shall ever be the object of my heart." I don't always know what the will of God is, but what I do always want to know is, Lord, whatever it is, I want your will to be the same as my will. I want my will to be the same as your will. You know, a lot of times I'd like for the Lord to adjust his to match mine, but if I could just realize I don't understand what's out ahead. I cannot see when we walk out of this chapel what's going to happen. I cannot see what's going to come in next year. Each of us going our separate ways from here, we don't know the things that will happen. But I would like to say, Lord, I'll tell you what, I want my will to be yielded to what your will is. There's another song, "All my will is yielded to him." You know what, that's more, that's going to take a process. It's going to take me one day at a time in the small things of my life, being able to say, Lord, I adjust what my desires are. I want your will to be done. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Lord, I give you my will. I can say all these things to you, and then tomorrow, I'm going to have to put it in practice. Tomorrow, something will come my way that I can rise up and I'm going to take care of it on my own. Or I can say, Lord, you might have a purpose in this. You might have been the one that has caused men to ride over my head. What do you have for me to learn in this? And then at the end of it all, I'd like to be able to say this verse. Thy way is best, so lead me onward. My all I give to thy control. Thy loving hand will truly guide me, and safe to glory bring my soul. The Lord wants to take every one of us to heaven. To do that, he's going to have to allow some things to come into my life. And if I'm not careful, my will say, there's no way. I recognize where this trouble's coming from. In fact, I've attached a name to it. Job knew where his troubles were coming from. The Chaldeans had taken this group of animals. But he said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to be able to say that in my life and sacrifice.